The Crude Life, the most trusted voice in energy.
There's a lot of people running their mouth that don't stay the night, never come through town. And some other people running about that don't take the time to suss you out. Still some of us every night we make a toast to you, like isn't it nice that somebody had the presence of mind to speak up for you? Let there be light.
Welcome to the Crude Life Week in Review. My name is Jason Spies. Thank you folks for joining us today. Fantastic show in store for you. Busy week here at the Crude Life. Pulitzer Prize award winner Seymour Hersh in just a moment or two, plus a Maui update, NFL picks with Texas Railroad Commissioner candidate Sarah Stogner, Burley County Commissioner Steve Bakken. It's the public-private picks, pros picking pros, plus we have Joe Sinnott with your annual meeting prep, broadcast your podcast, Peter Schiff Show today, and Jeff Magrum, state senator from North Dakota, with an update on the pipeline issues happening there. My name is Jason Spies, and let's get to it. This is Pulitzer Prize award winner Seymour Hersh.
I'm just writing about inside baseball stuff. It's the normal things you do. They set up a committee to think of options. Russia was clearly going to go. The threat the president had yet to make had not been made, and this is December before New Year's Day of the year before, 2021. And the question inside the committee, and it included the usual CIA, NSA, Treasury Department, State Department, you name it, and they met in the secret office building in the across the street from the White House, in the executive office building. The option was, do you want us to do something kinetic, or something not kinetic. In other words, not kinetic would be more sanctions, or something kinetic would be, you know, taking out the pipeline, as had been thought about. And our answer came pretty quickly. I would guess Victoria Nuland's statement that you mentioned came actually before the president's. It came in late January of last year. And that statement came, at that time, I think the committee involved a lot of sophisticated people in the intelligence and operation community concluded you could do it, and the White House was told it was possible. I think that led to the comments, which really, of course, made the people on the inside go half crazy, because it was supposed to be completely covert. But at that place, as I wrote, it was simply described as a classified operation. None of the rules of reporting to Congress were involved. And so they began their planning. They went to Norway, which is a great ally of ours. Norway was one of the original signers of the 1949 NATO treaty. I think 19 nations were involved then. And Norway is a great ally. We have spent, I write about this in some detail in the article, hundreds of millions, probably more, closer to a billion or more, upgrading facilities. Norway has a 1,400-mile border along the Atlantic coast that goes from Oslo in Europe all the way up north runs into the Russian border in above the Arctic Circle. So we put a lot of facilities up north there. Synthetic aperture radar, which costs a fortune, to monitor the Russian nuclear sites around, and also their military activities around there up in the other side of the peninsula, the Kola Peninsula. So it's just, they're just our guys, and they're also great at doing underwater stuff. And so that's what happened. We did a plan with them. We had to clear it with Sweden and Denmark. I'll leave it to them to decide whether that they were accepted the explanation we were doing exercises in the Baltic Sea for the hell of it. But so far, I haven't seen much from either of them. And, you know, it's a tiresome game to me. And so what happens is, when I do my story on Substack, I wouldn't even think, I'm embarrassed to say it after all those wonderful years I had at the New York Times, I wouldn't even think of taking a story like this to the New York Times. They've decided that the Ukraine war is going to be won by Ukraine, and that's what its readers get, and that's, so be it. That's their call. I just did my reporting, and the miners came from a very facility in a little small town in Florida, and the mining community in the Navy is very secret, and they just do their business. They don't talk. That was perfect people to get, and they practiced it. And as you said, there was a major exercise every summer by the Sixth Fleet, which American Sixth Fleet out of Italy, which controls, also has the operational rights in the Baltic Sea. Baltic Sea is a huge place. The pipelines we're talking about, Nord Stream 1, which came alive in 2011, and Nord Stream 2 was actually done, but the Germans that are ready to pump has 750 miles. And they go straight from Russia, which is loaded with all kinds of gas. They're in Siberia. They have enormous reserves directly into Germany. And I can tell you, Nord Stream 1 was a godsend for the German economy and Western Europe. They produced so much gas at such low prices that the German government was actually able to resell some of the gas the Russians were providing at a profit without Russia objecting. And so the German economy is huge. It's booming. You know, the cars we know about, Germany has the largest chemical company in the world, BASF. And everybody's, right now, it's hell to pay. It's gotten very cold there. There's a lot of anger.
The crude life.
Welcome back to Common Sense, everybody. I'm Wendy Bell. You know, it's stunning to monitor the media's lack of interest in the whole Maui story. I've been in this business for 30 years. I'm stunned. But I'm not surprised. The dots are connecting. And coincidence seems to be the story here, right? But the true story, the media knows it is not allowed to tell. But I can. Is it a coincidence that the Maui police chief is the same man who was in charge in Las Vegas during that massacre that killed 58 people? Is it a coincidence that the Maui property, owned by million and billionaires, it wasn't touched by the flames while homes of the locals all burned? Was it a coincidence that the flames traveled across hundreds of feet of pavement and crossed a four-lane highway with emergency shoulders to jump into the ocean and then burn all the boats? Was it a coincidence that the largest system of outdoor emergency sirens in the world never made a sound as the fire devoured Lahaina? Was it a coincidence that at the very same time, all the water was turned off? Was it a coincidence that police were ordered to block off streets and to funnel all the cars trying to escape onto one road where that firestorm incinerated entire families? How about the coincidence that the governor of Hawaii, Josh Green, just weeks before that inferno, signed a pledge to the UN's 2030 Agenda of Sustainable Development, pledging to eliminate emissions? Weird. And think about this coincidence. That governor also signed an emergency proclamation on July 17th, 3 weeks before the fire, about housing of all things, and suspended 7 state statutes protecting historic preservation laws, removing all of the red tape when it comes to building infrastructure. Coincidentally, that emergency proclamation also suspends previous building laws and gives the governor some magic wand power to appoint a housing czar to rule on the island's redevelopment. Is it a coincidence that the government put up a black fence around Lahaina, or that the FAA grounded all drones from flying over the affected areas? Is it a coincidence that since at least 2011, there have been plans to make Maui the first smart city run by 100% renewable energy, and that coincidentally, 2 of the 3 largest landowners on Maui are BlackRock and the U.S. government, and that both are part of the UN's agenda? It must be a coincidence, then, that the locals whose homes did not burn are now being evicted from their property. And, of course, a total coincidence that all the fact checkers who are checking these facts, who say everything I just told you is just a coincidence, are also owned and run by BlackRock. Thank goodness none of these coincidences is connected. I'm Wendy Bell. I'll see you next time for more Common Sense.
Even when the flood starts rising, even when the storm comes, I am washed by the water. Even when the rain falls, even when the flood starts rising.
The Crude Life would like to welcome and invite each and every one of you to the Energy Exposition happening in Las Vegas, Nevada, February 7th and 8th, 2024. Oil, gas, wind, solar, uranium, Bitcoin, sustainable solutions, and much, much more at this year's Energy Exposition happening in Las Vegas, February 7th and 8th. Folks, you don't want to miss the Crude Life Podcast Pool Party happening February 7th. It's the week before the Super Bowl, folks. The Energy Exposition, the Crude Life is all in 2024. For more information, check out energyexposition.com. We'll be right back.
The Crude Life, the most trusted voice in energy.
Thank you very much, Steve Bakken. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm the founder of The Crude Life. We have Sarah Stogner, the unicorn lawyer. She's for the people of the people, running for the Texas Railroad Commissioner. She'll be announcing it on Saturday officially. Steve Bakken is the Burley County Chairman. I don't know, Steve. You were like all of a sudden nothing and then commissioner, and now you're the chairman. I mean, you are a rocket ship of the government, man. You are big government. So we've got the people against big government here. Okay, all right. Okay. So let's go ahead. I'm the referee, but I'll be giving my picks as well. All right, Sarah, we'll go to you first. Ladies first. Thursday night, the New York Giants, who pulled out a last-second win in Arizona, or I believe somewhere. They were 1-1, taking on the 2-0 49ers. It's at San Francisco, New York Giants.
49ers.
Niners.
Niners as well. Let's go with the Indianapolis Colts at the Baltimore Ravens.
Ravens.
I'm going to go with the Colts with an upset on this one. The Tennessee Titans at the Cleveland Browns.
Ooh, Tennessee.
I'm going Tennessee as well.
I may have to go with Tennessee too, because what we found out Monday night, the NFL is rigged and they do not call pass interference.
No, they don't.
Okay, let's go with the Tennessee Titans on that one as well. Tennessee's a no-tax state. All right, so next we've got Atlanta Falcons 2-0 taking on the 1-1 at Detroit Lions. Sarah?
Oh, man. Can somebody please beat the Dirty Birds? I'm going to go for the Lions.
You know, I'm going for the Detroit Lions just because I don't think Atlanta's going to pull off two in a row. They kind of got a little lucky, did us a favor for us Vikings fans. Last week with the Packers, I think Detroit's probably a little more legit than that.
The Crude Life will always stay dirty. Go Atlanta. All right, let's go with the New Orleans Saints, 2-0, at the Green Bay Packers. Saints are 2-0?
Who dat? Okay. Who dat? I got to go with the Saints. I'm going to pick the Saints every week.
All right, I'm going to pick Green Bay, just because they're at home.
They're at home. I'm going to go with the Green Bay Packers as well. All right. No, I'm going to go New Orleans Saints. Let's go with the Saints on this one. All right. The 0-2 Texans at the Jacksonville Jaguars. Snooze Bowl.
Jaguars.
Jags.
Jags here, too. All right. Let's go ahead. The 0-2 Broncos. Oh, tear in my eye. At the 2-0 Dolphins.
Yeah, Miami.
Miami.
Miami. This is the game of the week, folks. The 0-2 Chargers at the 0-2 Vikings. Must win for both.
I'm going with Vikings.
I'm going to say the Chargers. I hate to do it, but I just got a feeling the Vikes are going to be 0-5 and Kirk Cousins is going to be on the trading block.
Who's Kansas City playing this week? The Bears, so I'm going to sit Kirk Cousins and play Pat Mahomes. I'll go with the Vikings anyways. Okay. All right, next we got the 0-2 Patriots. You like how I picked based on my fantasy team? All right, 0-2 Patriots. Yeah. The 0-2 Patriots at the 1-1 New York Jets.
I'm going to pick Jets.
I'm going New England.
The 1-1 Buffalo Bills at the 2-0 Washington Commanders.
I think Washington's going to keep it. I think they're going to go 3-0.
Buffalo.
I'm going to go with Washington as well. We have the 0-2 Panthers at the 1-1 Sea Chickens, otherwise known as the Seahawks. Sarah?
I think I'm going to go Seahawks.
Seattle.
Got to go with Seattle as well. The 2-0 Cowboys, America's team, best branding ever, at the 0-2 Cardinals.
You know, this is going to upset some Texans, but I think the Cardinals are going to wake up and finally get a win here.
Ooh, that's a tough one. As much as I hate the Cowboys, I'm going to go Dallas.
Go Cowboys, unfortunately. The 1-1 Chiefs taking on the Bears. The Bears are the visitor. The Chiefs are the home team. The Bears are 0-2. The Chiefs are 1-1. Sarah.
Chiefs.
Kansas City.
1-1. I'll go with the Chiefs. 1-1 Steelers at 1-1 Raiders. Sarah?
Ooh, I think I'm going to go Raiders.
I'm going Pittsburgh.
Apparently the NFL is rigged and they want the Steelers to win, so I'm going to go with the Raiders. All right, let's go with the 2-0 Eagles at the 2-0 Buccaneers.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with the home team on this win. Tampa Bay pulls it out.
Philadelphia.
I'm going Baker Mayfield and Tampa Bay, baby. 1-1 Rams, Los Angeles Rams at the 0-2 Bengals.
Rams.
I'm going Cincinnati with this one.
Let's go with the visitor team, the Rams. 1-1, going to be 2-1. Back to you, Steve.
Wow, it's been fun. Those are our picks. Thanks, guys. This is Talk of the Town on Supertalk 1270.
The Crude Life would like to welcome and invite each and every one of you to the Energy Exposition happening in Las Vegas, Nevada, February 7th and 8th, 2024. Oil, gas, wind, solar, uranium, Bitcoin, sustainable solutions, and much, much more at this year's Energy Exposition happening in Las Vegas, February 7th and 8th. Folks, you don't want to miss the Crude Life Podcast Pool Party happening February 7th. It's the week before the Super Bowl, folks. The Energy Exposition, the Crude Life is all in 2024. For more information, check out energyexposition.com.
I was delusional. I thought if you were a good person and you do right by people, that people will take your kindness and give you kindness back. But what I realized is sometimes in this world, the kinder you are, the more they try to play you like a fool.
The Crude Life.
Today we head down to Washington, D.C. to listen to an exchange between Senator Josh Hawley and Inver Energy Executive Kelly Speaks Backman.
Sorry?
You're taking Missourians' land from them. Your company has gone to court and sued Missouri farmers to take away their land. This isn't speculative. I mean, you've actually used this corporate power, which frankly I'm not sure you should have, to seize land from Missouri farmers that's been in their families for generations.
Well, sir, I would actually say that I think about we would have power that would go into communities in Missouri. So I'm happy.
That's the new Tiger Connector line. So after it was pointed out that your original Grain Belt Express did nothing for the state of Missouri, then you came back and said, well, we'll add something more. So what commitments are you going to give the farmers and residents of Missouri today that they'll actually benefit from this land grab?
Yes, sir. Since we as Invenergy have taken over this project, we have done an inordinate amount of community engagement. We will continue to do direct community engagement. This project did not start with us, but we took it on, and we took it on with the objective to make sure that the communities are well spoken to and well heard from in order to make sure.
What are they going to get? Are Missouri farmers and residents, are they going to get lower energy prices out of this? How are they going to benefit? You're putting a huge transmission line across 200 miles of land in the state of Missouri. You have gone to court to seize the land from Missouri farmers. You're a private corporation, aren't you?
Yes, we are, sir.
But how much money are you making on this?
I'd have to get back to you on that.
Would you? I'm really curious because, you know, you've got Missouri farmers who, in many cases, these are small family farms. These are not massive corporate farmers. This land has been in their family for generations. They just want to be left alone and be able to farm. And you're a major corporation who's coming in here and taking them to court, literally, to take their land. And then the benefit they get from it is nothing. Nothing for the state of Missouri. And you talk about the national good. So your message to them is, give us a big, rich corporation your land or we'll take it from you. And you should just live with it.
Sir, I'm sure that that's not the message that we're trying to.
That's what they're hearing.
And I would say that since Invenergy took over this project, we have changed direction of the project. We've changed the path of the project to suit the community's needs and the community's demands.
So, will you pledge not to exercise eminent domain in the state of Missouri?
I'm not authorized to.
That's a no.
I'm not authorized to make that commitment, but I will certainly get back to you.
You know, that I think would be the kind of, if you want to talk about rebuilding trust here, I think if you as a corporation would say, you know what, we're not going to take your land from you. you talk about outreach to the community and benefits to the community. Why don't we start with, we won't take your property? Again, I'm not, it's not clear to me why you as a corporation should have the power to seize their property. I don't think you should. That apparently that decision's been made, and I guess you do. But I would just say, if you want to rebuild some trust, number one, why don't you show something for the state of Missouri, for the residents there, that you're going to do for them? And number two, why don't you pledge to them that you won't take them to court to take away their land so that they can continue to farm and raise their families and have their livelihood? I'm sure you still find a way to make lots of money. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Crude Life would like to welcome and invite each and every one of you to the Energy Exposition happening in Las Vegas, Nevada, February 7th and 8th, 2024. Oil, gas, wind, solar, uranium, Bitcoin, sustainable solutions, and much, much more at this year's Energy Exposition happening in Las Vegas, February 7th and 8th. Folks, you don't want to miss the Crude Life Podcast Pool Party happening February 7th. It's the week before the Super Bowl, folks. The Energy Exposition, the Crude Life is all in 2024. For more information, check out energyexposition.com.
The Crude Life, the most trusted voice in energy.
Welcome back to the Crude Life Week in Review. My name is Jason Spies. Thank you, folks, for joining us. Up next, Joe Sinnott, the CEO of Whiting Partners and the host of the Energy Detox Podcast.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think what I bring to the annual planning process is largely the same thing I bring to individuals when I'm working with them one-on-one, and that is the ability to slow down and think. And this is feedback that I get from people that I work with, right, Jason? You know, it's, you know, we're sitting down one-on-one. You know, what I do is by and large not training. It's not talking. It's helping the individuals get out of their own way to think differently. You mentioned the word fear just a minute or so ago, right? You know, recognizing their fears and figuring out a practical way to overcome them. So when it comes to the annual planning process, again, it's helping companies, you know, at a bigger level, not just working with people one-on-one, but helping companies think differently, get out of their own way, slow down a bit. And, you know, as that relates to some of the cultural concerns that you mentioned, some of the, you know, the morale issues and the worries and the fears, again, it's recognizing different ways to attack them, practical ways to attack them. Because the problem is, from a budgeting standpoint, in many cases, from a human resources standpoint, you know, it's easy for them to make a case and say, hey, you know, we need to inject some new thinking, some, you know, some cultural initiatives. You know, let's put some money in the budget for some things that are nice, that are safe, some training, some management training, whatever that is. And again, those are good things by and large, Jason. But in many cases, they're just incremental additions to the budget or to the plan for the year, to the organizational development strategy. They're typically, like I said, you know, incremental changes. So a little bit of deviation from what we did before, or maybe if times are tight, you know, maybe we trim the budget a little bit and we look at some different resources. What I bring in, I would argue, is exponential impacts, because I'm able to hit the ground running. Again, most of what I do is working one-on-one with individuals so that they're not just parroting generic leadership training things and management things, which again have value, but it's specific to that company. It's specific to that company's plans. It's specific to that company's mission, not some generic things that an individual leader is going to have to then digest and kind of piece together and figure out how it applies to him or her or, you know, their company. No, I'm there right next to them saying, hey, let's take these leadership principles and let's turn them into something specific for your company. So that's the difference with me, Jason. And again, I'm able to do that because I was part of that planning process. I had my own G&A budgets. I had to go through that process and those conversations and those concerns and weigh all of those things. So I've done that. Obviously, I've got the oil and gas background and the experience and, you know, the insights into how the planning process works. But now marrying that to the world of professional coaching, I'm able to generate those exponential impacts instead of just coming in and checking the box and, you know, being in the conversation to deliver some leadership development programs in 2024, which again, I don't want to knock those things, but by and large, they don't make the same, you know, they don't have the level of impact that they could. So I don't know if that answered your question or not, Jason, but that's my role this time of year with companies.
And that was Joe Sinnott, the CEO of Whiting Partners and the host of the Energy Detox Podcast. For the full-length interview, visit thecrudelife.com. Also, links are available for Mr. Joe Sinnott's website and podcast. Up next, it's Broadcast Your Podcast. It's the Peter Schiff Show.
The rate hike, or not rate hike, the rate decision. So, as expected, the Federal Reserve left the Fed funds rate unchanged in September at 5.25 to 5.5. Now, Powell did indicate that there is an expectation of one additional hike, and that's basically all the Fed expects. So maybe 5.5 to 5.75, and then they're done, which means they're really done right now, because even if you raise by another 25 basis points after having gone from 0 to 525, what difference is one more 25 basis point hike going to do? And if they haven't done the job now, if 5.25 isn't enough to bring inflation back down to 2%, which it's not, but if that's not enough, then 5.5 isn't going to do the trick. And if 5.25 is enough to do it, then what difference does an extra rate hike mean? I mean, it's practically the same thing. It's not like people are going to change their behavior dramatically because the Fed funds rate is 5.5 versus 5.25. It's too small a difference to be meaningful. And so this really signifies the end of the hiking cycle, at least to the extent that the markets are anticipating. So I would imagine that we would start to see a sell-off in the dollar, a rally in gold. We didn't really see that today. It was actually very quiet in the foreign exchange markets, and gold did finish the day slightly positive, off its highs. It was up maybe $12 an ounce before we got the decision. But the markets kind of sold off late in the day, and I'll get to the market reaction after I finish talking about what happened. But I do expect there to be some type of move now in the gold market. And there may be something even going on in China. I've been reading stuff and I've noticed that the price of gold in China is actually, you know, rising. You could actually, if you could arb it, you could actually get more money. Gold is selling at a premium right now in China than it is pretty much everywhere else. So the Chinese are buying gold, so something's going on that's causing them to buy more gold than normal, which is pushing up the price of gold in the Chinese market higher than the global market. So that could be indicative of something that's going on. I just don't know what it is, but whatever it is resulting in more buying of gold in China. But anyway, so getting back to this rate hike, when they announced it, it was pretty much, you know, we're leaving rates unchanged. We're still a long way from our goal of getting inflation back down to 2%, but we're committed to doing it, and we're going to do it. Really nothing new. Powell did mention that the Fed still intends to continue significantly reducing the size of its balance sheet, meaning that there is no let up in quantitative tightening. And so even though the Fed didn't raise rates and may only raise rates one more time by 25 basis points, they're going to continue to tighten via the balance sheet by shrinking the balance sheet. And of course, that is a huge problem. And this problem was not really acknowledged at all during this press conference that followed the announcement that rates would stay the same.
And that was the Peter Schiff Show of Broadcast Your Podcast right here on the Crude Life Week in Review. Up next, pipeline issues happening in the Bakken oil field. My name is Jason Spies, and this is the Crude Life Week in Review.
The Crude Life.
The Corporate Transparency Act, specifically what it does, is starting January 1st, 2024, anyone who has a corporate entity or an LLC that is domesticated in the United States or a foreign equivalent that does business in the United States, and in order to perform that business has to receive some sort of certificate of operation from either the Secretary of State or an equivalent entity like the tribal authority, if you're on, if you're within tribal territory, has to report sensitive information for the quote unquote beneficial owners of that entity to FinCEN with a Financial Crimes Enforcement Network. That is what FinCEN is. And if you have any one of these entities starting January 1st, 2024, you will have to report the name, address, tax identifying information of anyone who is a beneficial owner, which I can talk a little bit more about that, to FinCEN. The purported purpose is for reducing financing for terrorist organizations. Okay, that sounds like something we would all be behind, but the problem is the way that it's being implemented and what it's ultimately creating is creating a very streamlined way for the federal government to either abuse personal information, things that we have seen done numerous times in the past, or engage in theft in taking civil assets under the guise of breaking some of these reporting laws, and all under this bill that was buried into a bill that was passed at the start of 2020.
She's counting on you. She's counting on you. I'm transformed.
Crude Life would like to welcome and invite each and every one of you to the Energy Exposition happening in Las Vegas, Nevada, February 7th and 8th, 2024. Oil, gas, wind, solar, uranium, Bitcoin, sustainable solutions, and much, much more at this year's Energy Exposition happening in Las Vegas, February 7th and 8th. Folks, you don't want to miss the Crude Life Podcast Pool Party happening February 7th. It's the week before the Super Bowl, folks. The Energy Exposition, the Crude Life is all in 2024. For more information, check out energyexposition.com.
The Crude Life, the most trusted voice in energy.
The Salvation Army band played, and the children drank lemonade, and the morning lasted all day, all day.
Finally, Friday, a rally up at the Capitol today at 5:30 on the steps of the Capitol. for those that are supporting private property rights and standing up against a land taking for a private project that there's too many questions for me that still exist concerning Southern Carbon Solutions' proposed CO2 pipeline. We'll get about the rally in just a few minutes, but Jason Spies from the Crude Life with us as well this morning, and we're talking with Elliot Huggins from the Dakota Resource Council. Elliot, when you're looking at these different aspects of a project like this, how precedented is it? Because for me, it all comes back to, well, this is just a money grab. It's a power grab in private industry going, hey, screw you and your private property rights. This is about us making profit. This is about us grabbing free money out there by the federal government. Is that really what this boils down to?
Exactly. And I actually really appreciate how you framed the conversation. And so when I talk to people about this, I say, you know, it's really complicated. There's a million angles a person can view or approach this issue. But it comes down to me to one fundamental thing at the end of the day. Do you think it's appropriate for a multi-billion-dollar corporation to take people's land through eminent domain to then have their private profits be almost 100% taxpayer dollars? Do you think that's appropriate or not? I personally don't. I don't think a multi-billion-dollar corporation should be able to thrust eminent domain on literally, as we sit here today, hundreds of people to then go directly profit off tax dollars. So yeah, I think that's, you know, just a really major concern a lot of people have. And I wish there were, you know, more people speaking out for private property rights because it's this project today, but it could be something else tomorrow. So, yeah, absolutely.
One of the things that we're starting to discover with some of these public-private partnerships like this is the public part, like the government, will go out and recruit a billionaire or a company or however their system works. Some people call it crony capitalism. Other people call it economic development. Some people call it country club economics. So choose your phraseology, if you will. But when the government is actively going out and searching people, now, a lot of times when they're billionaires, they don't actually put any money down. All they do is they put their equity or, you know, whatever they have. And so the tax dollars actually become the seed money and become the operational cash. And that's what I think a lot of people forget and do not understand, that there's zero risk for a lot of these projects that the taxpayers are having to not only start, but also seed the money for the banks. And then, of course, if it fails, then they get on the back end. And there's 20 years of documentation to back this up. So with that being said, my question to you, Elliot, is do we know who the owners are? My understanding is that there's several counties asking for a state law that was just passed to investigate Carbon Summit Solutions because there's concerns who the ownership is, because after 10 years, that carbon's ours.
Right.
It's the state's. Yeah. Do we know who the owners are?
Yeah. So again, a thing I'd say about that too is this to me, I think, is another area where this company could potentially, you know, mend some bridges or, you know, maybe get people, you know, thinking a different way. There's, you know, stated at least at minimum 464 investors and only five names were submitted to the PSC. If Summit would come out and tell people and be very upfront, this is who the investors are, this is where they live, this is their funds, they would be very upfront and just put that information out. It might assuage some of these concerns. So I think that's another area where people, I think, would just appreciate some more transparency. Burley, Emmons, and Richland County all wrote the North Dakota Attorney General, addition to, I believe, 32 or 33 state legislatures a couple months ago, building off of that. Requesting an investigation to see if there's any potential foreign adversary ownership of ag land or things like that. And Drew Wrigley, unfortunately, or a lot of people would feel unfortunately, said a couple days ago or a week ago, he's declined to investigate the investors because his narrow interpretation of the law is, well, the company was technically operating lawfully on August 1st, and this company hasn't broken any laws. So there's not really a basis for me just to open up an investigation. So it kind of felt like he kicked the can and didn't want to take a stand on it. But, there's a lot of questions from that. You have three county governments involved. That's a lot.
Excuse me. Did he really say there was no basis? Or is that your words or his words? Because that's an unbelievable statement.
Well, I guess I don't know if the no basis. I guess that would be my words, but he did issue a statement, and the statement is very clear. He doesn't feel like he can open the investigation. He did say that.
So did he give a reason why?
Yeah, and the reason why is the state laws says, like, I'd have to reread it, but something to the effect of, well, if the company is operating lawfully on August 1st, if the company is known to be operating lawfully and they're not known to be breaking any laws, he couldn't just, like, you know, open up a random investigation. That was kind of my interpretation of what he said.
Well, that's interesting because it's not a random investigation. No. There's several counties asking for an investigation, which was state law, correct? Well, isn't it state law?
And as per that state law that kicked in, we have a right of knowing who the investors are, because that was to prevent foreign investment from basically monopolizing North Dakota property. And again, back to property rights, especially when you've got a foreign bad actor as the financier for some of these projects. You know, we saw this up in Grand Forks with Fu Feng when Governor Burgum brought that group into North Dakota. We're seeing it now with Summit Carbon Solutions and Governor Burgum promoting a foreign Chinese-funded project. They're one of the investors, and that's when you eminent domain land, you take ownership of that land. So, again, do we want to see foreign adversaries owning North Dakota property? The answer to me is a definitive no. Jason Spies from The Crude Life. Also, we're talking with Elliot Huggins from Dakota Resource Council. Elliot, we're coming up against the break, but as far as details coming.
To listen to the full-length interview, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. And that's going to do it for today's program. We'd like to thank Pulitzer Prize Award winner Seymour Hersh, also Sarah Stogner, the Texas Railroad Commissioner candidate, Steve Bakken, Burley County Commissioner and host of Talk of the Town, also Joe Sinnott with Witting Partners and the host of the Energy Detox Podcast, Peter Schiff of the Peter Schiff Show, and of course, State Senator Jeff Magrum, plus everybody else who contributed to allow us all to continue to live the crude life. We'll be back next week at this time on this radio station. Be sure to subscribe to our Substack page. Daily updates at Substack, thecrudelife.substack.com. That's thecrudelife.substack.com. From the staff at The Crude Life Week in Review, my name is Jason Spies, wishing each and every one of you a fantastic week. And remember, all energy has a purpose, and we are all energy. Make it a fantastic week. I see that I'm crazy for loving you the way that I do, because you could love somebody like you. They say you're too damn small, and I won't pretend. It don't matter at all, but no matter what the trouble ahead is, don't regret this time that I spent. Sad to be a hold. Nothing you could do would make me go. We'll let the world judge what they all know. Giving me a heartbeat, making me never wanna leave. We'll let the world judge, cause they don't see. 5,000 candles, 5,000 candles burning bright. All the lights you could handle. 5,000 candles see right. 5,000 candles burning bright. All the lights you could handle. The Crude Life would like to welcome and invite each and every one of you to the Energy Exposition happening in Las Vegas, Nevada, February 7th and 8th, 2024. Oil, gas, wind, solar, uranium, Bitcoin, sustainable solutions, and much, much more at this year's Energy Exposition happening in Las Vegas, February 7th and 8th. Folks, you don't want to miss the Crude Life Podcast Pool Party happening February 7th. It's the week before the Super Bowl, folks. The Energy Exposition, the Crude Life is all in 2024. For more information, check out energyexposition.com.